This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What is going on, everybody? Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is a podcast for Sports Radio 94 WIP, and this is Francisco Rojas, and Rough one last night for your Fightin' Phils as they lost to the San Francisco Giants by a score of 11-4. Felt okay in the beginning. Felt okay in the first four and a half innings almost. And then things just unraveled as the Giants later innings of the game, specifically the sixth and seventh innings, which is later, but not the eighth and ninth, like I'd be alluding to there. But Phils losing 11-4 as not a good night. Not a good night overall. Wasn't a terrible night offensively, but getting tired of a certain thing that this offense is doing. And you probably already know what I'm talking about or what I'm referring to, but we will get into that on today's show. And we'll do the regular observations, takeaways from the most recent game, which was last night. Get you into a short preview of today's game against the San Francisco Giants, the series finale, where the Phillies will at least try to split with San Fran. Give you an update as far as injuries and transactions go for a few guys, or excuse me, just injuries, not transactions, but a few injuries for a few guys, and then do a little bit of around Major League Baseball as well as a little bit of this day in Phillies history. So just some of the key moments from last night's game. Really in the first inning, a tough first inning for Aaron Nola. He would walk out Wilmer Flores, Patrick Bailey. Hung Ju Lee would start it off with an RBI single, and then he would walk Wilmer Flores with the bases loaded. And then also Patrick Bailey, would single off of Trey Turner's glove at shortstop. Wasn't a super easy play, but, honestly, the defense that Trey's been playing to start the year, maybe you'd think he can make that play, but he doesn't. Patrick Bailey singling off of Trey Turner's glove in the first inning. So 4-0 Giants at that point. That's what they would, a lot of damage from the Giants in that first inning, kind of set the tone for them maybe throughout this game. And then Phillies would fight back a little bit in the first. JT Realmuto and Edmundo Sosa would both walk with the bases loaded. A lot of those this game. And then 4-2 San Fran at the end of the first. Bryce Harper would go yard in the bottom of the fourth, would hit a moonshot down the right field line. And Harp would homer. So the Phils would tie the game at that point, 4-4. And then it was pretty much all downhill from here. Top of the fifth, Matt Chapman would hit an RBI single that probably shouldn't have been an RBI. It should have just been a regular single, but Johan Rojas would make a throwing error, did not know where he was throwing the ball. It didn't need to happen. Just hit the cutoff man, and that's all you need to do. But Jung-Hoo Lee would score as Johan Rojas would end up throwing the ball into the Giants' dugouts. And it was 5-4 San Fran in the sixth. Jose Ruiz would walk Willy Adames with the bases loaded. Jung-Hoo Lee would hit a sack fly to left field. That would be 7-4 San Fran at that point. And then in the top of the seventh is where the Giants would just pad their lead and really take this game over. They would get a pair of RBIs from Wilmer Flores and Tyler Fitzgerald, and then Mike Yastrzemski would get a two-run double, and that would all... It's all she would write as the Giants won 11-4. So I have about 3-4 takeaways. I guess 3.5 because one of these is like a part of the one. But I also kind of want to go off on a tiny tangent with it. So takeaways from last night. Number one, I am nervous that Aaron Nola is the way that Aaron Nola's track record has been, right? Nola has been pretty much, he's been pretty much up and down if you look at his career since, I want to say, 2018 with the Phils for the most part. You know, 2018 had easily the best season of his career. I mean, even if you look at overall, it's one of the best seasons by a Phillies pitcher, you know, in the last... probably since 2000. It was an incredible year. 2019, he followed that up with, it's hard to follow up a year as good as Nola had in 2018. But 2019 was a little more underwhelming, was okay, wasn't amazing, but wasn't, he was solid. I guess that's what I would give him, you know, he was solid in 2019. 2020 was the COVID shortened year, so it's kind of hard to gauge when you have the COVID shortened year. 2021 was the worst, you know, full year for Aaron Nola in the majors. Had an ERA plus of 90, which was 10% below league average at that point. He did still have 223 strikeouts, but that's when the issues with Aaron Nola would start to kind of come to surface, that he was having trouble getting out of, you know, he would have 3 or 4 good innings and then would have one blow up inning. And then it's like, oh, he had a good outing until that. And then look at his line. It's like, oh, he didn't have all that great of a start. Actually had a pretty bad start. So that was kind of Aaron Nola's MO in 2021. Much better in 2022. When he finished fourth in Cy Young voting that year, he got back to really being himself, probably his best year since 2018. And then 2023, more of the same, but gave up a career-high 32 home runs in 2023. Was really inconsistent. And, when you look at the numbers at the end of the year, was an average pitcher. So then there was that. And then there was last year where they give him the extension and he ends up having a pretty good year. It finished 11th in Cy Young voting. He did lead the National League in home runs given up, but still he was able to limit the damage. Didn't feel like there were a bunch of 3-run bombs that he was giving up every single start. He was limiting that damage. Him being able to limit the damage made him an effective pitcher in the 2024 season. And now look at the start that he's having now. He's not been good. And he had an okay start in, you know, last time out in St. Louis, right? And it just seems like, you know, he had the bad first start against Washington, solid start against LA, decent start against St. Louis, and then last night was horrible, was not good, and it was really, And it just seems, and it almost seems like the reverse of what he normally does, which is not normally does, but when he has his bad outings, he will normally have like the first three or four innings will be great, and then the fourth or fifth inning he'll blow up, and the next thing you know, he ends up with a line of five innings and 4 to 5 runs, and it's like either it's like or it's a bad start. So, and that's what, you know, Nola had trouble in that first inning. He had the trouble with the command. I don't want to hear it, by the way. I don't want to hear about the velocity. Like, Nola, yeah, okay, he's not throwing. He's like a mile or maybe a mile per hour off or two, where his velocity normally is, where it normally sits at like, what, 92? And it's like, what, it's at 90? Last night, it's not that big of a concern. The thing with Nola is that he's just shaky when he gets into jams. Like he gets shaky. I'm not going as far to say he's like Vince Velasquez shaky with runners on base, because remember that experiment? That was not good. That was different. But it just seemed like it was almost the reverse in the first inning last night. The first inning he was not. Got into the jam with the bases loaded, ends up walking Wilmer Flores with the bases loaded, and then everything kind of unraveled. So, and I know it started with the RBI single, but either way, you know, Enola kind of would settle in a little bit after that for the next couple of innings, and then, but just nervous. I know I'm taking a while to get to the point here, but I'm just nervous that Aaron Nola is not going to, if we're going to see, I'm just looking by his track record of year to year, that it's up and down. It's literally been that way since 2018 for the most part, and especially the last 4 years, from 2021 to 2024, it's just up and down, and it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating, and I know we're overreacting a little bit, or I am overreacting to this a little bit to start.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
2025, I know it's only 4 starts in, right? I get it, but I can't help but be nervous and anxious that we're going to see another, that this pattern that Nola has had over the last 4 years, and that it might turn into, you know, this pattern continuing. And, you know, maybe thank goodness that the Phillies have the rotation that they have this year, where they have all this depth, and 1 through 5, I wouldn't say all this depth, but, you know, 1 through 5, maybe 1 through 6, ending with Taiwan Walker, and depending on what they do at Ranger, I'll give you an update on him in a little bit. But I'm just nervous that Aaron we're going to get the 2021 and 2023 Aaron. And I know it's only four starts in, but I can't help but be nervous at the start of the year here. Okay, second takeaway from last night's game. Here's the thing, and I know they both have, and especially Rojas is starting to, I know he had a hit last night, but Rojas offensively is not it. Not it. Brandon Marsh offensively has been absolutely, I mean, horrendous might even be an understatement at this point. He's hitting 095. You're not calling up Justin Crawford. People have been asking that even before the season started. We're not doing this thing where, I mean, the Phillies have messed up a lot of minor league. No, I wouldn't say a lot, but just because you're excited about potentially Justin Crawford because he's one of the top prospects in the organization and you're having a problem in center field, we're not rushing Justin Crawford to get to the majors. At the end of the day, it's still the nine-hole hitter. And I know we want production everywhere, don't we? We don't want to, like, just because nine-hole hitter doesn't mean you want production. But still, it's the nine-hole hitter. It's not that big of a problem. You know, the big thing is guys hitting a runner in scoring position, well, which I'll get to in a second. The big thing is your top half of the lineup. Alec Boehm needs to be better. Alec Boehm slumping is a bigger deal than Brandon Marsh slumping because Alec Boehm is expected in the middle of this lineup to produce. And he was an all-star last year. He's supposed to produce. Different story. You know, Trey, Bryce, Schwarber, Castellanos, Realmuto, Boehm, Stott to a certain extent. Those guys are supposed to... they are supposed to do what they're supposed to do for this lineup. I know center field, we're not rushing up Justin Crawford just because we're having problems in center field right now. And I want to give Brandon Marsh, like, I know it's tough right now because he's really, really bad right now. Still need to give him a couple of weeks before I pull the plug on Marsh or we send him down or do any of that stuff or any of that talk. So, center field situation, let's just settle down. And one more thing, and I know I've gone a lot, very long on the takeaways from last night, but felt very strongly about a lot of these things. Johan Rojas, what are you doing? If you're not going to be productive at the plate, then you need to be incredibly elite as you have been in the past as an outfielder, as a center fielder. What the heck was that throw last night? What the heck was that? Yeah, the Sosa situation in Atlanta where the ball drops right in front of you, but we know that's your ball. And now you do... What do you... That's a play a little leaguer would make. Like, seriously. That's a play that I would see either myself make or somebody make in fourth grade. I don't know what he was doing. Was he trying to show off that, oh, I'm an impact center fielder? It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Especially if you're not going to be good at the plate, you need to be good in the outfield. The metrics aren't saying that he's having a horrendous year to start the year in the outfield, but it's, I don't know, optically, those two things that I'm referring to, the Braves series with the drop and last night, it's not good. And the last one from last night, not executing runners in scoring position. They're 25th right now in Major League Baseball. Batting average runners in scoring position. Needs to be better. It's been, and if you look back at the last couple of weeks, even back to like the Dodgers series, they have not been good. It's runners in scoring position. And this has been a problem the last couple of years at certain points. Yeah, if you look at their numbers, I think last year, I think they ended up getting it together and being better, but... there have been points the last couple of years where Phillies have not been good with executing runners in scoring position. It's not good right now. Need to be better. I don't know. I don't know if they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves. I don't know what they're doing, but they need to be better. The walks in the first inning was fine, but can't be relying on a Bryce home run. Can't be relying on Schwarber to homer every single time. Like, you gotta do the little things. You gotta do it. So that's my last takeaway. Phillies sitting 10-8, second in the NL East. I'm not trying to overreact to anything, but not a lot of great things to take away from last night. I don't think there were any positive takeaways. Nothing positive. Nothing really positive to take away. Still love Bryce, but a lot of great things to take away from last night's game. Today's game will be at 4:05. The pitching matchup will be Jordan Hicks versus Christopher Sanchez. And Phils are going to try to get splits here. You might as well at least try to split with the Giants, who have been hot and in a really good National League West so far. So Christopher Sanchez and Jordan Hicks on the mound. And Sanchez a lot better last time out when they faced St. Louis, much better than he did against LA when he had probably his worst start to the year, worst start of the year so far. But Colorado and St. Louis, better starts, but the LA start wasn't as great. But we'll see if Sanchez can follow up his start in St. Louis. And it is a 4:05 start, and of course you can listen to the game on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And I believe it'll probably be Fransky in LA, because LA has done the last, what, three games. I would assume it's going to be LA again. If not, it would be Stocker. Injuries injury updates. Ranger Suarez has had the lower back stiffness that he's been dealing with, you know, dating back to being on the IL on March 27th. It says IL date March 27th, retroactive to March 24th. And he's expected to return sometime before the end of this month. And last night, he pitched out 4 innings in his second rehab start. Threw 54 pitches for single-A Clearwater. And what about 4 innings? I believe he struck out 7. Phils have not said how many rehab starts they expect him to make before he rejoins the rotation, but he will make at least one more. Weston Wilson, who's had the mild oblique strain, IL date going back to March 27th, same thing, retroactive to March 24th, expected to return pretty soon. Status is that Wilson continued his rehab assignment with AAA Lehigh Valley on Tuesday, went 2-for-5 with a double, triple, and walk. So hopefully we will get Weston Wilson back sometime soon, and maybe they can platoon him out there in center. But I mean, because we need some better options right now. I mean, I'm not saying just continue to throw Marsh out there every single day or night, but just to try to see if he can get out of it, but need to do something. So those are your injury updates on Ranger Suarez and Weston Wilson. How about a little bit of this day in Phillies history? Have not done this in a while. There's some good ones here. Some good ones. 1976. Mike Schmidt, April 17th, 1976. Mike Schmidt goes 5-for-6 with 4 home runs, 8 RBIs, in an 18-16 victory over the Cubs at Wrigley Field. He hit 2 homers off of Rick Rochelle. I think that's how you say his name. I probably should have looked it up before we did the show, but sorry if I got the name wrong. 1 off of his brother Paul and 1 off of Mike Garman to tie a major league record for most home runs in an extra inning game. 18-16, the Phillies would win on that day in Wrigley. April 17, 1979, Gary Maddox gets a hit in the second inning and follows with another hit in each of the next 3 innings. A team record. Phils would beat the Pirates 13-2. That's pretty cool. 1996, Phillies would tie an NL record by recording 21 infield assists in a 9-inning game at Montreal. 9 by Kevin Stocker and 8 by Todd Zeeley. By the way, I forgot that Zeeley was ever a Philly, but there you go. Stocker, the great Kevin Stocker. And then the Phillies would win that game in Montreal 9-3. So that's pretty cool stat there. Way back, April 17th, 1996. Okay, that will do it for another episode of Phillies Today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Stay tuned for everyone else on this channel that does a great job. I will be back on Monday, but make sure you stay tuned for everybody else. That will do it for me, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series. where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.